Well, good evening to you. We, Lorne and I, are both absolutely delighted to be here with you this evening. I want to say that sincerely, and I mean it, because I took the initiative a couple of months back in talking to Harvey Cox and then to Bob Boydock and to Noel a little. I asked if some of us who happen to work all the time here on the Glen in the international headquarters could come and talk to you, and not only talk to you, but listen to you and interact together. And I hope we can do a little of that when we get to that pie downstairs. Now, I am, as it were, an aperitif. I'm going to talk, I hope, for a fairly short time, and then Lorne will open the word and share whatever's on his heart with you. We are both grateful to be here. I realize that if this is like most of the training programs that I've experienced personally, you're probably very busy and somewhat tired. And this is a Saturday evening, and I sure appreciate you just coming up here for us to get together tonight. So thank you. It's a work and a labor of love that you're carrying out here at the Glen, serving the people who work here and the people who come here to conferences. And we who are here permanently, I'd just like on behalf of all of the people who work here to thank you for what you're doing this summer. It's appreciated, and we see the difference as we drive on and off the Glen and move around and talk to people. So it doesn't go unnoticed. The main things to be said about me, if you will kindly disregard what Harry said almost entirely, are that Jeannie and I have been living here in Colorado Springs for about 5 years now. I joined the Navigator staff in 1971, and I had 5 years working with Doug Sparks in London, England, as the office manager for our ministries in Europe and the Middle East. Since 1976, when we moved here, I've attempted to do the same thing, working and serving Lorne on a worldwide basis. In other words, my responsibilities are administrative. By that we mean policies, budgets, planning, anything that isn't directly related to the field grassroots ministry of the Navigators. If it's not field, it tends to end up with me. So I have a sort of negative definition of my job. Okay. I want to give you, if someone will help me by passing them out in a moment, a handout, in fact, 3 sheets, because in the time that I have available, I'm going to talk to you a little about the primary aim of the Navigators, and then I'm going to tell you about where we've reached in the pursuit of that aim, because it's an almost it's an unfinishable aim. Jesus will come, we believe, before we accomplish that. And so I want to tell you where we've reached, our sort of state of progress, and to show you some slides which will illustrate a little of our ministry around the world. It'll be mainly informational, perhaps a little statistical, but my purpose, very simply, is to provide information to you, and then there'll be an opportunity for questions later. So, unless I'm entangled here, if you could give one of those to each person, I think we have enough. Stop me fiddling. Thank you. The Navigator ministry, as you know, because you're a part of it, is built upon the promises of God. Promises which were given, first of all, to Dawson Troutman, then to Lorne Sanney and those who worked with him more recently than that, and to us as individuals. All of us, I'm sure, have claimed from the Bible, some specific promises concerning our ministry. And the experience of the Navigators is that it is by taking hold on these promises that God will bless our ministry. So what I want to say tonight is not a way of trumpeting the importance of the Navigators. Far from it. It is a way of proclaiming the faithfulness of God for what he has done when we have claimed the promises that he's given us. The ministry is built on the work of the Holy Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Let me start by telling you that last year, about 160 of our navigator leaders from around the world, 21 different nationalities, met in this room for a three-week conference. The purpose of that conference was to unite our hearts and our minds for the decade of the 1980s. So we met here for 3 weeks, a great cosmopolitan group of people, many of them struggling to understand English because they came from 21 different countries. And we took as our theme for that conference, Noel was here and he will remember this, we took as our theme some verses from Isaiah, which were claimed by Dawson Trotman years and years ago, and which are still relevant to the ministry of the navigators. And I just want to read these from Isaiah 43, verse 4 onwards. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east, and I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not hold back. Isaiah 43. We had those verses on a big banner right across there for the whole of that conference. And the significance of this is what we have seen God do in recent years. He has brought his daughters and his sons from the east and the west and the south and the north, so that the navigator ministry in the blessing of God is now spread in many countries throughout the whole of the world. The ministry has a primary aim. You have it on this handout here, and on the first yellow sheet that you have. The aim of the navigators is to multiply spiritual laborers in every nation. And we do this because we believe that this is what God has called us to do to help fulfill the Great Commission. Notice the word help. We are one tiny ship in a very large convoy, the convoy of the body of Christ, as it were. We are a tiny little outfit, as Lorne will say from time to time. We are very small, very specialized, and this is our specialty, to multiply spiritual laborers, that the number of them might greatly increase. And in the pursuit of this, there are three essential functions that are parts of the ministry of the navigators, and this will be familiar to so many of you. To evangelize, and to establish, and to equip. To evangelize those who do not know Jesus Christ, that in the work of the Spirit they might become new converts, new babes. To establish them in the faith, that they might become the disciples of Jesus Christ. And then to go on to equip them, as it says in Ephesians 4, for every work of service. And the equipping that we do is focused and pointed towards equipping them to be spiritual laborers. Laborers who can go out and in turn make other disciples. So this is the ministry of the navigators, to multiply spiritual laborers, and these three E's, evangelizing, establishing, and equipping. Now, if you'll turn to the second sheet here, I've put on one page, very compressed, very simplified, a little progress report on this aim. To answer the question, well, that's good, that's biblical, but how are we doing? What is happening in the navigator world at the moment? And you'll see that I've divided this into three sections. First of all, a bit about the navigators, because this is the aim of the navigators. It's not the aim of Campus Crusade or InterVarsity, it is the aim of the navigators, so we're being very specific here. And then I've talked a little bit about the degree to which we're multiplying laborers, and then a little bit about our progress towards every nation. Let's look at the first section, the navigators. There are many ways, as you well realize, in which we could define the word navigators. We could talk about anyone who's on our staff. We could talk about those who we call representatives. We could talk about anyone who's on our mailing list, about 260,000 people at the moment. We could talk about the 79,000 persons who are givers to the navigator ministry financially, and so forth. I have chosen here to narrow it down and just to mention the number of navigator staff that we have. And you see that's nearly 1,900 of them, of all those nationalities. 360 of these staff are foreign missionaries, Englishmen serving in the United States, Dutchmen serving in Singapore, and so forth. And then 641 of our navigator staff are what, in a very narrow sense, we could call navigators. That is, people who can produce, who can make equippers. Now, that's a little bit of jargon, and you could ask Lorne more about that. But people who can produce, people who can go on and make laborers, representatives and contact staff. We have about 640 of those. Incidentally, in the 1866 that you see mentioned, as is typical with mission agencies, we count wives. So when we say we have 1800 or 1900 staff, that includes 700 or 800 wives. That's a good thing to count them. They're in the ministry too. So I don't think that can be faulted. Okay. Well, our aim is to multiply laborers. And you'll see that during the last year that we have information from around the world, 1979-80, during that ministry year, we raised up nearly 1,000 new laborers. These are people directly related and associated with our local ministries around the world. And so our basic workforce, that is all the laborers teaming with us, about 3,500, all zeroing in on the pursuit of this primary aim. What about every nation? Well, we have about 550 cities or locations around the world where we have a ministry. And you'll see the bias of our ministry still, the intentional bias is towards the student ministry. We used to have about 150 locations where we had a military ministry, but since the ending of the Vietnam War, the Americans in active military service has declined, and tactically we have declined and reduced our ministry to the military as well, in line with the reduction in the forces. And then the fastest growing section of our ministry is what we call the community ministries. These are ministries with businessmen, young adults, homemakers, and ministries with local churches, such as through the 2-7 series. Although it's small relative to students, just 148 places where we're ministering, it's growing at about 20% per year in terms of the number of staff and number of people involved in that ministry. Then, and you'll see in point two there, that we have a ministry commitment. That means, in terms of our primary aim, I keep coming back to that intentionally, in terms of our primary aim, there are 46 countries in which the navigators have a commitment to local people there and are helping them to become laborers and make laborers. There are other countries which we visit and we fly in and out of and we go and see friends and so on, but there are 46 identifiable countries where we have a ministry. And I've listed those which we normally list to a general audience. To you, of course, I could tell you that we are in various other countries that are not mentioned here. For example, the countries of Eastern Europe. We are making disciples in six countries in Eastern Europe. And in several of them, we have already produced spiritual laborers. I'll say a little bit more about that later. Okay, and then finally down the bottom there, 16 of the countries in which we're working have themselves sent out at least one staff missionary. Now, that's very important to us. Our way of thinking about the mission that we have is not that it's to be always an American or a northern mission sending to the poorer parts of the world or the less developed parts. We want every country, when it reaches a certain level of spiritual maturity and the navigator people there, to itself get the vision of helping fulfill the Great Commission and send out its own people. So 16 countries, as listed here, have sent out nationals from their countries to other parts of the world. Okay, that's a little progress review, very simply, of where we've reached in the pursuit of our primary aim. We'll speak about the prayer card at the end of what I have to say. Lest I forget, let me just apologize to you for the quality of the prayer card. I received these on Friday afternoon, and apparently there was something wrong with the machine. It's not up to standard, but I think it's legible. Okay. Now, with the aid of some more slides, I'm going to zero in now on the navigator ministry in the countries outside the United States, on the theory that you know more about what's going on in the American ministry than I do, so I don't need to tell you what you're doing. But it might be more useful for me to tell you what other people are doing. Okay. Slides. Broadly speaking, the split currently, the division, the breakdown, if you like, of the navigator ministry around the world between what we have in the USA and what we have in other countries is like that. On the left-hand side, you see the percentage of our total worldwide ministry which goes on in the USA. On the other side, the percentage that goes on in what we call the international ministries. And you had George Sanchez, I believe, talk to you a few weeks ago, and he will have elaborated a little bit on his job. He is the director of our international ministries. So you take, for example, the number of new laborers that we produced, the 969 on this yellow sheet. 54% of them were produced, were Americans, very simply, and 46% of them were non-Americans. However, if you switch to something that is financial, like gift income, because of the maturity of the American ministry and because of the affluence of America, you'll see that 76% of our gift income is American money and only 24% is non-American money. And you can see the other dimensions there and compare. But basically, in terms of our staff and our laborers, our primary aim, it's about half and half. Now, because it's half and half, Lorne moved about a year ago to a very simple organization, which reflects the numbers you've just been looking at. Basic organization of the Navigators, simplifying horribly, is that we have a president, and we have a U.S. director with five regional directors under him, Jim White being one of those. You'll have met him last week. And we have an international ministries director, George Sanchez, with six or seven regions reporting to him. And what we mean by an international region usually is two, three, or four countries. So a regional director reporting to George Sanchez will probably have three or four countries where he has a ministry. Lorne has a saying that structure follows strategy. And we've reached the stage in our strategy where we have this approximate equality or equivalence between the USA and the rest of the world, hence this very simple structure. Okay. Now we're going on to the right-hand side of the chart, and we're going to think about that alone. Of our 969 new laborers that you see on your yellow sheet that the Lord raised up through the Navigators last year, 443 were non-Americans, the yellow number there. You'll notice when you compare that with the situation in 1970, and if any of you had a calculator and were mathematically inclined, that's a growth rate of about 15% per year in the production of new laborers in our primary aim. So if you want to remember something, in terms of our primary aim, we are developing at the rate of about 15% per year in growth. The 46% is just a reminder again, 46% of the total, the 443 non-Americans. Okay. Let's look at the locations of our ministry outside the USA. And here you'll see a radically different pattern from the one which you have on the yellow sheet. You'll notice down the bottom there that the military ministry is almost zero outside the States. In fact, we only have one place, and that's Singapore, where we have a military ministry with non-Americans. We're going to start another one soon in the Philippines, but at the moment only one. And you'll see that the student ministry is very strongly established overseas. This is because the overseas ministries of the Navigators are at an earlier stage of development than the American ministry, and therefore they reflect the situation which we had here in America 10 to 15 years ago. It would have looked something like that, probably. Nearly 70% of the ministries overseas are with students. And of course, I think it's 40 or 50% of all American young people go to some form of college or university. Well, remember that that is very abnormal. If you were overseas, even in a country as sophisticated as Britain, only about 15% of people go to university. And so the availability of education here is remarkable. But in terms of our ministry, the point I wish to make is that if you start working with university students in a country like, say, Kenya, there are only 3,000 of them in the whole country, in a country of about 10 million people. And so it's of vital strategic importance when you, as a navigator, begin to make laborers on that university campus in Nairobi. So our student ministry overseas is very strategic. And then the community ministry is growing fairly fast again, but it's not nearly as developed as it is here. Okay. We have 46 countries. How can I take approximately 10 minutes and talk about them? Well, it's not a possible task, but there are several partial ways of accomplishing it. And the way I've chosen is probably the simplest way. I want to talk about our countries outside the USA in terms of where they've reached as regards our primary aim. In other words, it's to multiply laborers. So we'll talk about the countries, first of all, which haven't even started multiplying laborers. And then we'll make a progression upwards towards those which are very strong ministries and very significant ministries. And we can analyze our countries on that basis in terms of five stages of ministry, starting with the investment stage and going on until they become established. And here, to quantify that, you see these stages of ministry. By a country which is only in the investment stage, we mean no laborers yet. Maybe they're just learning the language. They've just started. They arrived last year. They're getting organized. They're finding out where the shops are. They're buying a home. They're learning the language and so forth. And then the beginning stage, just a trickle. 1 to 4 laborers being raised up each year. And then developing and then maturing. Some big ministries there. At least 15 laborers a year and many disciples and many converts. And then established a lot of laborers, and they meet a certain profile. And I'll explain that when we get to show you which of the countries in the world are established ministries. Okay? So this next chart will show us the countries where we are just beginning, or where we don't have yet any laborers. And on that yellow prayer card, incidentally, you will see a request that you bear down in prayer especially for these countries. And I'll tell you why. There are several types of countries here among these six. Some of them are like Hong Kong. There, we only entered the country last August. Incidentally, the main reason that we're in Hong Kong is that it's the gateway, of course, to communist China. Many other missions are also establishing a presence in Hong Kong at this time. We have two American couples there, the Choates and the Einans, and they speak Cantonese Chinese and are busy converting to Mandarin Chinese. And so even though you know one branch of Chinese, learning the other one is still a somewhat daunting task. So they're getting established, getting to know what's going on, getting reports, and we have some probes already going into the mainland. So that's an example of a country where we've just started. Now, another type of country would be represented by Argentina and Venezuela. We've been in those countries now for probably 4, 5, or 6 years. But they are on this list because they are countries in which the soil is very hard. They're spiritually oppressed countries. Take Argentina, for example. Our staff leader down there, a Colombian by the name of Fernando Gonzalez, he has been visited by government officials. He has been Last December, he was presented with a bill for $5,000 in taxes back to 1972, and he's not a very rich man at all. And so the government is doing many things. Satan is using the authorities in Argentina to directly and indirectly persecute the cause of Christ. So pray for Argentina. It is a struggling ministry, but the people down there, they have joy, and they're determined that they're going to stay. American John Carroll is also down working in La Plata in Argentina. Lebanon is a different case. I'll just say a word about Lebanon. We've been in Lebanon for at least 10 years as a navigator ministry. Bob Vidano is our leader there. He and his team had to move out of Beirut temporarily in 1976 when there was the very large flare-up. There seems to be a war in Lebanon all the time, but the war became extremely intense, and so they retreated to Jordan and to Cyprus. God drew Bob Vidano's attention at that time when he was in Cyprus and praying about why this had happened to some verses in the Bible which convinced him and our Lebanese team that when we went back, we should begin to work with Muslims. We had been working, like many other missions up to that time, with the nominal Christians, of whom there were many in Lebanon, as you know. But if we're ever going to make a major impact in the Middle East, we have to roll up our sleeves and go for the far harder and more challenging task of working with Muslims. So from 1977 onwards, when they went back, we have been working, beginning in a small way in Beirut, with Muslims. And we don't have any spiritual laborers yet, but we have a number of Muslim converts, And we do have some Muslim disciples in the Navigator ministry. And to be a disciple in an area like Lebanon, and to be a Muslim, is just beyond, I think, our comprehension. Your family turns against you, you go in physical danger, you are literally liable to get shot if you go through the wrong checkpoint with the wrong type of passport showing you're a Christian, not a Muslim. And there are some harrowing stories from our people and from other missions there too. So pray for the guys and girls in Lebanon. Okay, those are the ministries in the investment stage. Next, we have a larger group, those in what we call the beginning stage. Just a small number of spiritual laborers being raised up each year, up to about 40 a year on average over the last 3 years. Why is this a larger group? Essentially because the Navigators put on a considerable spurt in the first years of the 1970s, from about 1972, when we developed a global strategy under the guidance of Walden Scott, to about 1975, we entered at least two and probably three countries per year. We really got to move on geographically. And so these countries, which were established then, are now in the stage where the ministry has put down some roots and is beginning to multiply laborers. The Noel Nelson, of course, as I'm sure you know, was our leader. He was our leader in Kenya for a number of years. And Kenya is an interesting situation because it's one of the most multinational of our ministries. We have Swedish staff, Danish staff, we have our Dutch staff, British staff, American staff, Ugandans, and Kenyans. And the Kenyans are from several tribes. And we've reached the stage in Kenya now where we have, I think, eight Kenyan and Ugandan staff members. It's very exciting to me to see these young men and women coming up in the ministry and developing into that degree of maturity. So we have a rather complex and interesting ministry in Kenya. Another country that I ought to remark on is Denmark. I don't just wish to present only our successes, if you like, or only the things that God has blessed. In April of this year, we decided to withdraw from Denmark. We have entered Denmark twice, and we have withdrawn from it twice. God has not blessed our ministry there. The soil is extremely hard. It is a pagan, pornographic, polluted place. And I say that as a European. Britain is going downhill too. But the ministry in Denmark has been very unfruitful, and we have decided that strategically there are more significant areas where we should be working because the need is so great. Matthew 9, the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. Let's take the few laborers we have and let's go where the harvest is really plenteous and people are responding to the gospel. So we've moved out of Denmark now. Austria, you see there. Austria, we don't really have a ministry in per se. In fact, we have about 40 staff, including their wives and associate staff, living in the city of Vienna, but that is our home base for moving into Eastern Europe. I told you earlier that there are six countries in which we have disciples in Eastern Europe, and several of these have laborers. We have also, 2 years ago, started a ministry within the Soviet Union. This is not to be publicized, and I don't intend to mention what sort of ministry or where it is, but it's more than just casual visits. It is making disciples, and it is involving our staff moving in and out of the Soviet Union, and not just dropping literature on people, but basic grassroots navigator ministry, discipling people on a consistent, persistent basis. So we have that also now beginning in the Soviet Union. And more, you know, as you reflect on the state of the world, we are going to see the ministries in places like Eastern Europe as a prototype for the continued expansion of our ministry. In other words, what I mean is this. More and more countries in this world are going to become closed to, quote, professional missionaries, right? They're going to be open to laymen and women. They are going to be closed to people who call themselves navigator staff and are full-time. So this has several implications for our future planning. Okay, those are ministries in the beginning stage. Now in the developing stage, these countries. In Finland, I just mentioned Finland here among this list. We have a warm and a buoyant ministry in what is an extremely, not only a literally cold environment, but an inhospitable environment spiritually. Finland is a hard place for the gospel. Tom Heap, an American, Tom and Nancy Heap, he is our country leader there. For more than a year now, Tom has struggled with a rather rare and virulent form of cancer. He's in a state of remission at the moment, but pray for Tom Heap, our leader in Finland. He is the only missionary couple there. Around him are five or six young Finns who are ready to take over the leadership and already are in some of the areas of the ministry in Finland. So apart from Tom, the ministry is really very indigenous and very well established. Heap, H-E-E-B, Tom Heap. Thank you. Okay, then the fourth of the five categories, remember, was what we call the maturing phase. These are countries which have a strong ministry, an average of at least 15 spiritual laborers a year. May interest you to see Egypt there. We have not been in Egypt for very long. We have a Lebanese Arab leading our ministry in Egypt. His name is Nabil Jabour. The ministry that he has is both with the Presbyterian Church in Cairo, but also, more significantly, I believe, with the Orthodox Church. Now, it's somewhat analogous, somewhat similar to the Roman Catholics, except that they don't accept the authority of the Pope. They have their own hierarchy, and they have some other important theological differences. But think of them basically as the Roman Catholic type. They're Coptic Orthodox, and several of the young priests in that denomination or church in Cairo are being discipled by Nabil Jabour. And this is very important for the future development of the hierarchy in the Coptic Orthodox Church, which is quite a significant church within Egypt, even though the majority of the people are Muslim. In South Korea, I'll just pick that off the bottom of the list at random and say something about that. South Korea is our most prolific ministry in the Navigators in terms of, you'll pardon my foolishness, but I'll talk a little bit in managerial terms, in terms of production per $1,000, if you like. Understand? In terms of the low cost of the ministry and the high production. Very, very strong moving of the Spirit of God throughout South Korea. And you'll have read about this, the Graham Crusades, the what Campus Crusade are doing, many of the churches. The largest church in the world is in South Korea, in Seoul. The Navigator ministry follows this pattern. It's very fruitful. It's almost entirely run now by Koreans. We just have a couple of American missionaries. The leader is a Korean, John Ha, and that ministry is going from strength to strength and developing beautifully. One of the difficulties in South Korea is that they're very suspicious of letting any of their Koreans go overseas. And when we have a staff conference, I was in one in Malaysia in May. The country leader was able to come out to Malaysia to meet us. They wouldn't let his wife come with him. The reason is that the Korean government feels that if you let a man and his wife out of the country at the same time, they just might not come back. That's kind of suspicious, isn't it? So very unfortunate. And so he comes without his wife. And we're going to have a disciple-making conference in Korea this next summer, because it's easier to bring other people into Korea than to get Koreans out to visit with us. So Egypt, a ministry that is very much worth praying for with young pastors in the Coptic Church. South Korea, a dynamic and strongly developing ministry. Okay, lastly, established countries. Now, I hope there isn't an air of finality about the world, the word established. We're not resting on our laurels and saying these countries have made it. Okay? They are very small ministries compared to the ministry in the United States. So what do I mean by established? What I mean is three things. The ministry in these countries is biblically rooted, culturally relevant, and continuously effective in terms of our primary aim, multiplying laborers. It's biblically rooted, it's culturally relevant, and it's continuously effective. These countries, very typically, would continue not just to struggle, but continue to multiply if we pulled out all the foreign missionaries, all the foreign money, all the foreign help. We don't intend to do that. It would be rather foolish in some cases, but that will illustrate the degree that the ministries have reached. And you'll see that four of these are part of the Commonwealth. In other words, they're basically English-speaking ministries, and then also our ministry in the Netherlands. These five countries are very important to us because 55% of the income that we receive from outside the USA and 45% of the spiritual laborers outside the USA come from these five countries. So when Lorne is traveling, when I and George and others are traveling, we need and do give a lot of attention to these countries because we want to give them all the help and support that we can and to pray for them. Those are established countries. Now, one more slide. Just about finished. So what I want you to bear in mind, first of all, the primary aim that you have on your yellow sheet there, to multiply spiritual labors. That's what the navigators are in business for. That's what you and I are involved in and with. Then, think of the... Pick just two or three countries that are of interest to you, or two or three names that I've mentioned, and let me encourage you to pray for them. If this presentation does one thing tonight, I would like to feel that it has generated more prayer on my part, on your part. An opportunity for praising God for what he's done, an opportunity for praying for what he can do and will do in the 1980s as we continue to claim his promises. Pray for more missionaries. Let me show you this chart, finally. Show you the extent of the need. The laborers are few. In the last year, for which we have a complete year, we were asked by these countries overseas for 130 more new first-time navigator missionaries. That doesn't count wives. 130 different family groups. And we were only able to supply 55 new missionaries. That's less than half of what was asked for. And even if we've been able to supply 120, 130, other mission agencies are asking us for navigators. The Missionary Associates program is sending out non-staff laborers. And so this is just, if you like, the tip of the iceberg, the professional missionaries. And you see the gap between what we have been able to do and what we are asked for. Don't let anyone ever tell you that the day of the missionary is past. Just ain't so. Is not so, excuse me. pray for more missionaries. Now the number that we are sending is increasing slowly each year because we're trying to deepen the quality of the individuals who decide to go overseas with the navigators, not just spin off anyone who would like to get on a plane and go. And when you're trying to put roots downward and bear fruit upwards, when you're trying to enlarge and extend, then you can't move everything all the time. So the number is increasing slowly, but also the quality is increasing. Pray for these things to move ahead further and faster in the 1980s. And that brings me, in fact, to the prayer card here, finally. Again, my apologies for the poor quality of the text or of the printing. I have tried to mention five prayer requests here, which again tie back directly and specifically into the presentation that I've made. I want to encourage you to pray for the pursuit of our primary aim in each of these 46 countries. And you've got a list of 30 or so on your yellow sheet, and the others, which are mainly closed and communist countries. Notice that it should be wise and should be sensitive. Sometimes one can go into a new situation where the Church of God already exists, like a bull in a china shop. Very brash, very excited, very motivated, and not very sensitive. We are a part of the body of Christ, and we rejoice in that. And then pray, secondly, for our existing 360 navigator staff missionaries. Pray for fruit and health and strength and energy, and above all, that they just continue on the rock that is Christ, not in their own strength. And then pray for the hard places and for these countries in the investment stage with no laborers yet, just beginning, just struggling, just starting. pray for, I haven't hardly mentioned money at all, but of course it is a concern, particularly in the environment at the moment. Although the rate of inflation is going slowly downwards in the USA, it is running at 10, 20, 30% in many countries, and in many of those it is not going down. Inflation last year in Argentina was 106%. We have missionaries there, and they depend on our support. Some things can be done, but you can't completely reduce 106% inflation so as you don't notice it. So pray, in number four, for creative solutions, different things to do, different types of missionary, working missionaries, special solutions to this need. And then pray for a surge of spiritual laborers, people such as yourselves, to go out, who've got the world in their hearts, to go from many countries to many countries, to go not just as navigator staff, but as young, single, international trainees, that's ITs, to go as missionary associates, and to go out with other agencies. Because we are in the business of helping fulfill the Great Commission by multiplying spiritual laborers. Thank you very much.